Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
I also want to talk too about sort of the culture, the social media culture, and there's celebrity culture there. And with Serial and Undisclosed, part of the reason why the case of Adnan Syed was re-entered the public consciousness was because of the podcast create a sense of true drama. True crime drama. For better or worse, they each crafted compelling characters out of real people. I'm wondering, what are your thoughts about attracting the public's attention and keeping it with or without the benefit of, say, for instance, the celebrity culture? There are a lot. I remember when it came out, there were so many people talking about it and a lot of celebrities were talking about it. But what if you don't have that bullhorn? How do we keep those stories out there?
Social media has been big, obviously, in Adnan Syed's case. But at the same time, it's really only a small fraction of our users or our listeners that are on social media. I mean, they're the ones you see and interact with, so the ones you know better. But if you look at the numbers, they really are just a tiny, tiny percentage of everyone who is listening to our show. So I'm not sure it's really as vital as we might like to think it is. And it does help. It does get the name out there. It might have a new listener never heard of you, learn of you. But at the same time, I don't think it's fair to say it's driven by social media.
Does celebrity culture drive social media?
Possibly. I'm actually not big on social media. I've never tweeted really until this, and I still forget most of the time to log in.
I will
the irony.
Add to
that. Yeah, go ahead.
A lot of the work that we do at Justice League, the founder of our organization is Harry Belafonte, and Harry Belafonte was involved in the civil rights movement with Dr. Yeah. King, and he was able to use his platform to amplify civil rights and actually bring together his peers. But, you know, and we do the same thing. We use artists to come into the detention center with us. We use celebrity to amplify the work that we're doing because we are sometimes like this on the ground, thinking about, okay, what's our next move? What are we going to do? Where's the strategy? And we may not be speaking the same language that other folks are speaking. So we use a lot of hip-hop artists to talk to the community that we don't have access to. There's a young man by the name of Maison, Immortal Technique, Russell Simmons. These are individuals that open the door for us when we don't have access. And so Mr. Belafonte always talks about, and it's a quote from Paul Robeson, artists are the gatekeepers to truth. They are civilization's radical voice. And that's actually debatable, right? So we could have a debate about that as well. But I think for us, they've really been able to take us to a different level in regards to just the work that we're doing. We have a lot of policy priorities. They come out to our press conferences. They support us. They have concerts that will also talk about police brutality. I know Usher's doing a new thing where they're working with the families of police. Victims of police brutality as well. So I think, you know, for us and Justice League and, you know, other people have a different strategy and a different opinion. But for us, they're really able to amplify our work. And I think we're really grateful for their presence. But they allow us to be the activists and we allow them to be the artists.
That's
and
important.
I know that currently there's this intersection of artivist, which is great. But I think just for us specifically, you know, it's not about giving them talking points and you being a talking head. It's like, you really need to be invested in our community. We need you to come out beyond, you know, you showing up to a press conference. Come into the detention center. Come to a rally. Come into our office and let's build these relationships.
And I guess it's part of it. You only really see your effect through social media. And obviously your goal is to affect more than social media. But that's harder to monitor because you don't know who you're engaging with secondhand. All you see is the engagements you have online. So you'd hope that your effect is going bigger, and I'm sure it is, but I don't know how do you guys measure that?
Well, when you get a call from the governor and he's telling you he wants to meet with you because he has heard that you're making a lot of noise in his city, and his state. I think that's I can't give you the matrix on the measure, right? But I can
say, can see it.
But we can see it. Also, we had what was called an economic shutdown, where we took some people into the Apple Store and into Macy's, and we did a die-in kind of during the winter months. And you know, Russell Simmons called us up because he got a call from somebody in Macy's saying, "What are these kids doing? What do they want? You know, you tell us now, because we don't want them to flood Macy's ever again." So, you know, I think we don't necessarily have we don't have the numbers of impact, but we definitely do get some of the calls and how, you know, some of these folks who have access are able to get us into certain doors.
Yeah. No, I think Witness is also in a similar position because our co-founder was a musician and activist, Peter Gabriel. And so it definitely helps to have that exposure and have a big name associated with your organization. But I think it's really important that when you're working with celebrities, you obviously have a strong strategy for the campaign, but you're also treating that celebrity like a partner in the campaign and not just a figure on a pedestal who's broadcasting this message, because then it just seems very disingenuous. And we've, to the question of impact, I think we've seen some cases, like we had a campaign a couple years ago in Mexico around disappearance of women and violence against women. And we worked with Gael Garcia Bernal and Diego Luna, two well-known actors there, directors, to speak to the politicians and to really start moving policy forward. And when we started seeing some policy changes around what was happening in Juarez, especially, then you know it's more than just a social media impact. And of course, the issue is still happening, so you can't expect that, you know, someone famous is going to go up there and solve everything. Mm-hmm. But I think that that exposure and just having someone who has an audience that is much bigger than we alone could ever garner is can be really helpful.
And it seems like to a certain degree, having a celebrity involved is good for getting the mainstream media involved. They might not cover your cause, but if you've got a big name A-lister beside you, they'll come cover that.
Yeah. I mean, Global Citizen, you know, we're known probably best in many places for the Global Citizen Festival. You know, this year we had Beyonce and Pearl Jam and Ed Sheeran and Coldplay.
Oh, that was you guys.
Yeah.
I went to that.
Yeah, see, there you go. Man,
I did. Great. I got my ticket.
Did you have a good time?
I had a great time. Thank you very much.
You took action to get your ticket, right?
Yes, I did.
See, we incentivize people getting involved often through celebrity. And that's one of the parts of our models that works, that celebrity can be an incentive. You give people a reward, whatever that reward is, and you can get them involved. And the goal is to bring people in the door for a reason that maybe catches them off guard. Maybe we take somebody who's like, "Man, I love Ed Sheeran. We want to talk to you about extreme poverty." What? You know, and you're like, okay, let's like, you know. But then you hope that through the process, and our process is one, we gate the ability to be eligible to win a free ticket by having to get involved and having to take political action to end extreme poverty. And so that's, you know, we do get some throughput. We get some people that come in and just click, I have to do like write an email, I have to make a phone call. Oh, okay. Their goal is still the concert. But the goal is that over this course of these journeys, that people then internalize at least a little bit of the message. And that's a really powerful one. The other aspect of it is, though, that I think that you've heard it kind of a refrain from my colleagues here, like the governor calling, politicians calling, earned media. The question was, does celebrity culture drive social media? I'd say no. I think that people use social media to connect with their friends. Yes, people follow Taylor Swift. Yes, people follow Beyonce. But at the end of the day, they're using Snapchat because they can talk to their friends, not so they can talk to Beyonce, though that'd be fun too. So social media is still driven by your community. All it does is magnify what we do in our communities, which is be obsessed with celebrities. And when people are obsessed with celebrities, they listen to celebrities. So when celebrities are engaged with your movement, people find a reason to engage with your movement. The mistake I often see is that people just say, "Oh, if we slap a celebrity's name on top of this, people will care." No, not so much. We find real backlash, actually, with our Global Citizens. And if we just sort of do something and it's a little bit like, "Oh, celebrity name," and we don't necessarily show why that celebrity is connected, it does not perform well, whether it's on social media in any other way. We have to show the partnership. We have to show the engagement. As sort of a crowning achievement of the festival period, Stephen Colbert, who is one of our hosts, who's a celebrity with a great following, he didn't just say, "Oh, I'm hosting and yay, see you later." He did a specific campaign. One of our through-line campaigns of the entire campaigning period was about getting Norway to increase its education commitment to global education. And after we did a series of tweets and emails and some, you know, behind-the-scenes campaigning, Stephen Colbert made a video that he, quote-unquote, launched a Twitter invasion of Norway. And it was hilarious. And people and Earn Media would just jumped all over this. And we sent something like 40,000 tweets, like, in the next little bit, like, on this thing. And it was one of the turning points with the Prime Minister of Norway, because not only now was she incentivized, not only was there a good campaign, not only was there good politics behind it, but the media is behind it, and she saw an opportunity to capitalize as well, and she made a hilarious response video to him. And this is a woman that you don't necessarily immediately assume has a sense of humor, but she was hilarious. You know, and that's where you start sort of melding that. So I think that celebrity doesn't drive social media, but for the smart and able and lucky enough campaigner that can have the right celebrity partnership, it is a powerful tool to drive attention. It's a powerful tool to open doors, and it's a powerful tool to leverage for change.
And I will have to agree. I know we didn't receive like 100,000 followers after we had all these celebrities participate, but I will say there is like some backfiring that happens. We had what was called the royal shutdown, where the royal family was in town, and we wanted to kind of show them, hey, well, you know, you came to the pageantry of New York, and that's beautiful, but, you know, there was somebody who just got killed. And so we had arranged, we made a phone call to a friend who was connected to Jay-Z, and we produced I Can't Breathe t-shirts in a matter of like 5 hours, printed them, produced them on a couch at 3 a.m. And we delivered them to the Barclays Center while there was going to be a game. So as we were protesting outside, and Jay-Z helped facilitate these t-shirts being distributed to the net players, he sends a text message to us, right? There was a text message that was sent to me, and it was Jay-Z with the players, and Jay-Z didn't have the t-shirt, but all the players did. And so everybody went in on Jay-Z, and they're like, why didn't he have a t-shirt on? And so there was this whole thing where he was trying to facilitate good, and it actually backfired on him. And so, you know, you have to really be strategic, and you just can't use people. It's for us, it was just kind of like, wait, but we didn't make one for him. It was for the players, you know, like, and so having to take ownership again of your own story, because that got out into mainstream media and everybody was talking about Jay-Z, how much Jay-Z didn't care about the protest movement to even wear a shirt.
Yes. So I remember that vividly, but I also, it was a wonderful campaign, because I remember the following week, I went to Cleveland, my hometown, wearing an I Can't Breathe t-shirt, mm-hmm. because I was so inspired by that initiative.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.